Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Thank you for tuning in. We've been talking about this concept, this idea, this theology, this sound theology of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus is God, right? The sign out there says, what's it say? It says Jesus is not God, and that is a cult. That's not the gospel that we're talking about. That's a whole nother gospel, and so that's why we've been really communicating this concept, this idea of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All one, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? And so that's what the Bible teaches. And so we've been looking at that, and we've been looking at the, everybody say Jesus is God, if you believe that, because that's really what it is. Jesus is God. And so we're going to continue on that. We're going to really look at the Holy Spirit today, because He's the third person of the Trinity. Because they call Him the third, because He really showed up in a bigger way in the New Testament. He was actually in the beginning. Remember, God Elohim. Elohim God, plural God. Let us create man in our image. So that was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working there, right? So we're going to continue on this teaching and understanding of the Trinity, but we're really going to look at the Holy Spirit today. I think you're going to really get something today. So it's going to help you. I promise you it'll help you. It will help you, because when you understand this, it's like, boy, this makes me stable. Helps you to be stable. We need stability, right? What's it say in Isaiah 37, in the latter days, that God's word will be stability and strength. Stability and strength. Who needs to be, he needs to have stability. I need stability and I need strength. When you keep putting His word in and you got the Holy Spirit, it's going to produce stability in your life. Amen? All right. So let's, that was Isaiah 33:6. It talks about in the latter days that the stability and the strength of the Lord will be His knowledge and His wisdom. Amen? So let's go to our vision, and then we're going to go to the First Peter 4, 9, and 10 after the vision, okay? All right. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right. I like what it said, be hospitable. Don't you like that word? Ashley, you see the word. Ashley, you work in a hospital, don't you? She works in a hospital because people need help. She's a respiratory therapist. Has breathing and all, right? And for sick people. We all are sick. Did you catch that? We all have some sickness. So we need hospitality. Did you catch what I said? From each other. That's why it says, be hospitable. Are you with me? Without what? Grumbling. Sometimes people don't want to get well. And they'll get to grumbling. Because you see, that's what takes place in the body of Christ. If you stay connected, healing's going to come. But it's important that you stay connected. Because if you don't stay connected, you get away from where God designed, what God designed to help you with your healing. That's the body of Christ. You disconnect from the body of Christ, your healing's not coming. You'll be 80 years old still doing the same thing. It kept you stuck in life. And your grandkids and your children aren't going to want to come see you because you're going to be needy. You know, God doesn't want us to be needy all the time. Are you with me? He doesn't want us to be needy. He wants you to be a fountain, not a drain, right? He wants you to be a fountain, not a drain. As I get older, I want to be a fountain. Don't you? And I know I may end up having to have some little something-something, but you know. But I'm going to call one of you guys to help me out. What do you think about that? Maybe Finley, my grandson, he said he'd help me out. All right. So, now look what it says. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's many folds of God's grace. Everybody in here has a gift. Everybody. Everybody on the planet has a gift. They just don't know it. A lot of times your misery comes from not knowing what your gift is and how to serve your gift. Because when you begin to serve your gift, you're fulfilled in life. Amen. There's fulfillment in it. You're actually helping somebody with what God has entrusted you with and gifted you with. So now, that's why I look forward to coming here. I'm bringing my stuff up in here. I'm serving you. You see that? This is the way we're supposed to be, all of us. It's not just one. There's everything's in here. We need you all working. Amen? I need you and you need me. All of us need each other. That's why it says in 1 Peter 1:22, purify your souls by obeying the truth in fervent love for one another, in sincere love for one another. Love one another. See that? Our soul gets purified as we come here and love each other and serve our gifts. Now, I know I don't feel like serving somebody sometimes. It's not about how you feel, right? Even when you don't feel, you know what? You feel better when you serve when you don't. When you serve and you don't want to, that's when God really puts something on you. You don't feel like it and you serve anyway, woohoo, boy, you get a little skip in your step. After you obey the word of truth, God puts an anointing on you. Am I making sense? All right. Well, let's go ahead and be seated. I could keep you guys standing there all day. So we don't want to do that. yeah, this is exciting. He says that we're to serve one another, that we've received a gift, and the word minister means to serve it, what, your gift to one another, each other. And as good stewards, we're supposed to be stewarding our life. You see, you can't serve your gift if you still got to be out there, you know, at the Crystal Pistol on the weekend. out there at the dog patch or the dog pound or whatever you call it. You see, you're hanging out there, you're not going to have anything to serve them. Am I making sense? Nothing wrong. Everybody that goes in there, there's nothing wrong with them. They just need to get some healing. Like I said, we're all sick. We need help. Huh? That's where, you know, if I was going to start another church, I might go to a bar and start it up. That'd be a good place to start a church, wouldn't it? You never know. Here's the thing. This is huge. When you begin to understand this, that you have a gift and God has gifted you, and you start to discover that, you discover that here in the body of Christ. You see that? We got people working in the nursery back there. That's how you, sometimes you, I went back there and there's a little gal holding a baby. What? And smiling. She was smiling. She didn't, serving that baby. You see that? You know what? That person holding that baby, God's going to use her. She's discovering her gifts. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Now, I know that's not for everybody, but, and I'm probably not one of them either, but I serve. See that? We want to get in here and serve. You know what? You want to serve on your job. You want to treat your boss like Christ. They should think, this person here. That's why it says in Colossians 3, in whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not to men. You serve the Lord when you serve your boss and those people you work with. Well, there's a person at work just rubs me wrong and makes me mad. And you know what? You come in, you come home from work every day, and you barf that on at the kitchen table and probably contaminate what's going on in your own home with some knucklehead at work. Am I making sense? When God put that knucklehead there to develop you, you see that? And God will use that person to help you when you see him God's way. And you'll begin to grow and mature so you can go back and serve them your gift and help them. Making sense? That's part of the reason you're here, is to help somebody. That's why you exist, right? It really is. I'm telling you, that's where your joy is. That's why it says in Philippians chapter 2, fulfill my joy, his joy, God's joy. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. We're supposed to be looking out for the interest of others, not just our own deal. You see that? And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the way we're supposed to think. We have to have a servant mentality. Amen? There's someone here that manages a little restaurant around here. I went in there and I went through the drive-thru. Can I help you? Oh, just smiling, serving. Made it. I left like, man, I just felt good when I left. They're serving. They're in here right now. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. Too bad. You see, when you do that, when you understand you serving people, that's why you're here. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve, right? All right. All right, now let's watch this. Let's look at this. So, 1 Peter 4:10, we find the manifold grace of God. We cannot live for Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live for Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You cannot be a disciple without the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? You cannot have a relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that is how critical the role of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Without him, you have religion. Did you hear me? Without him, you have religion. And when you ever go to a church and you walk in and they can't wait to get out of there. I just want to get out of here. Because, you know, they're looking at everything you got on. And you see what I mean? Am I making sense? But it's true. It's religion. Now watch. With him, with the Holy Spirit, you have relationship and intimacy with God. You see that? So now, this context in 1 Peter 4:10 is actually the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, and we are definitely moving in the gifts. We're trying to move in the gifts. Now think about this. The more we are aware of his role, the Holy Spirit, the more familiar we are. We will become, when we start speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now listen, he said, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. What's grumbling? Murmuring and complaining. See that? Remember the word complain. Com means to blame. Plain means lot in life. When you complain, you're blaming other people for your lot in life. You see that? That's one of the worst things you can do because you're not taking ownership. Right? What if Ashley's at work, somebody can't breathe, comes in, and she says, oh, you're the reason I had that problem with my car this morning. She starts blaming them for it. See that? Come on, do you see that? You see that? We don't want to be like that. We want to take responsibility, and our response is our responsibility, right? Now look, grace, 1 Peter 4:10 is receive the gift to minister it, the grace of God, the manifold grace of God, manyfold. There's many folds to the grace of God. What's grace mean? Unmerited favor, divine enablement. Grace is divine enablement for you to serve something that you didn't deserve. Did you catch that? Unmerited favor. Now, so give me Hebrews 4:16 real quick. Let us come boldly. The word boldly means with confidence. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. What's mercy mean? Mercy is, I'm not giving you what you deserve. Grace is, you don't deserve it, I'm giving it to you anyways. You see that? But mercy is, I'm not giving you what you deserve. Grace is, I'm giving you something you don't deserve. Now watch. And find grace to help in time of need. See, that's why we got to have a prayer life. People want to go to church and try to be a Christian without praying, without talking to God. You see this? This is huge. We need to learn and grow and mature, and prayer is a big part of our life because that's where our gift is going to be functioning out of our intimacy with God. All right, now. Think about this. Let us come boldly with confidence. Now look at this. The grace, throne of grace, that we may find grace to help in the time of need. We need to understand that everything that comes from God comes is his grace. Everything that comes from God is his grace. Everything. We don't deserve it, right? Now watch. It's from his desire to give us gifts that we don't deserve, grace. But these gifts are given to us because without them, we can't live for God. We can't live for God without these gifts. It's impossible to live for God without His grace poured upon you and through you. You see that? Did you catch that? There's five foundational gifts in this portion of scripture I just read to you. And one is the seal. One is the Holy Spirit reveals. The Holy Spirit enables. The Holy Spirit empowers. And the Holy Spirit transforms. Those are all gifts from God, the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Think about this. For us to live in Christ is to walk in the Spirit. You see this? Now, I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at 1:13. Y'all with me? Okay. In Him, who's Him? Jesus, right? In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You see, in Him you also trusted. You got to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ before you can trust Him. You have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You have to hear the gospel. You can't even get saved without hearing the gospel. That's why you hear me talk about the gospel all the time. It's good news. And so it's so important to speak the gospel. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Did you hear me? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone. Even those people that put up them signs, if they'll believe, they can be saved. Even the Muslims can be saved. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Even the Mormons can be saved. Even the Jehovah's Witness can be saved. Even the Hare Krishners can be saved. Everyone who believes, but you have to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? Because that's the theology the Bible teaches. My leg's going now. So he says, after you've heard, after in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. You see, the truth, people, we have to hear the truth. You can leave that up. You have to hear the truth. You see that? The Bible says that the word of God is truth. Jesus is the truth. So when you preach Him, you're preaching the truth. You see that? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that the people have a form of godliness, but they deny His power, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He says, preach the word in season and out of season, for there's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. See, people don't want the truth today. Am I making sense? Because you know what the truth does? It exposes your deficits. If you have a deficiency, it will reveal it to you. But you know what? That's a good thing. Exposure's good, right? I want to know if I have a deficit so I can work on it. I know I got some. Are you with me? Is that the truth means nothing concealed. That's what it means. Nothing concealed. Are you catching this about the truth? It says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light unless his deeds have been exposed. He who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. For God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. For if you say that you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, you lie and you do not practice the truth. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Past, present, future. That's what happened when you first trusted him. Now I'm going to show you something. All sin has been cleansed. Watch this. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, the word believe means hold fast to, cling to, rely totally upon. Now watch. You were sealed. Everybody say sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what? The day you heard the truth and you responded to the good news, the gospel, and you became born again, you were sealed. If you're born again here, I want you to say it real loud. I'm sealed. But if you're not born again, you better watch saying that. Am I making sense? I want to help you with this. You're at church in a good time right now. This is significant. This is important. This will help you in your walk with God. Now watch this. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word sealed is the Greek word S-P-H-R-A-G-I-D-Z-O. R-A-G-Z-O. That's the Greek word. I'm going to give you some etymology behind that word. Think about this. This is significant. This word signifies, and it comes from a king's signet ring. A king's signet ring. I want you to pay attention to this, because this is going to really help you. When a king wanted to make known his ownership of a possession, they would put a wax seal on the possession, and he would put his signet ring in that seal. So people would see the mark of the king on that possession. It was clearly a mark of ownership. It was also a mark of security and protection. So if somebody saw the king's signet ring seal on a possession, they would know that if they messed with that possession, they were messing with the king.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.